You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Attention Browns backers, check out the completely redesigned Browns backers portal. Take your experience as a Browns fan to the next level. Exclusive access, giveaways, and more. Register now for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. Matt, one thing I wanted to ask you about
was
Mike Pettine's end of the year press conference yesterday, Ray Farmer's today. Obviously, there were some statements directed about specific players to specific players. Did you know of in your time, did you or did any players you know actually listen to these press conferences?
I never did, and in some cases, I didn't even really know they existed because they're irrelevant, and the fact of the matter is when your season's over, you kind of flip that switch very quickly into what you're going to do, whether it's stay in that area, travel home, and so on, or travel down to South Beach. Like I told you as we discussed this, is what would happen, though, is somebody, whether it be a family member or a friend or your agent or some type of representative for you, or in this case for those guys, meaning Gilbert, West, Manziel, Gordon, somebody's listening, and maybe not listening in its entirety, but they're taking that audio file and passing it in the right direction to your agent, and then your agent will convey to you the high points and the low points of what was discussed for you. Because, of course, Josh Gordon was talked about for a minute and a half. Manziel was maybe talked about for five. So they don't need to listen to the whole thing, but not really, because it truly doesn't have an impact on you directly right this second, so it's essentially irrelevant.
All right, let's go to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. George in Chardon, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I listened to the news conference, and a takeaway that for me was Farmer feels like this team had a successful year. And as far as I'm concerned, it was just the opposite. They started the year with a quarterback controversy. They ended the year with a quarterback controversy. They started the year with problems with the defensive backs. They ended the year the same way. So, I could go on and on about the holes in the dike with this team, but as far as I'm concerned, they had far from a successful year. Number two, Manziel. It's like a woman that marries a guy and says, well, you know what, I'll change him after we get married. That never works. And it's the same way with this quarterback. You know what? You got what you got when you drafted the guy. If he wasn't what you thought he was, get rid of him. It's just that simple. You're not gonna make this guy grow up at the age of 22 or 23 or whatever he is. If he hasn't grown up by now, he's never gonna grow up.
I don't know if that's entirely fair. I mean, I think I don't know about you in the NFL, but would you say that you were able to grow up after 22, or were you as grown at 22 as you were at any point
no,
in your NFL career?
No, I absolutely grew up, but more so than anything, and I think that's, as I've said time and time again about Johnny Manziel, it's who you associate yourself with. And if Johnny Manziel does, as he said yesterday or the other day when he made his comments, want to do this or do something else, I think for right now, if he continues to do what he's doing and hang around the people he's hanging around with, he will be doing something else. But that can be changed. You are who you hang around with. And if he hangs around himself with successful people, smart people, people or quarterbacks, in the National Football League or friends who've been successful, or as I said, I think the best thing that he could do at this point is reach out to a successful quarterback, although a lot of them are playing in the playoffs right now, that will be in at or around the area that he's in, and see if he can shadow them for a few days and just take in the greatness, take in the leadership, and allow Johnny Manziel that open forum to ask questions. Because right now, I think that Johnny Manziel, because of the way he's had it in life up to this point, he feels like he knows everything and he can do no wrong, clearly by his actions. And I think he needs a little dose of humble pie. And there's no greater dose of humble pie than someone who's been there and done that. And that's a lot of other people, a lot of successful quarterbacks in the National Football League.
No question. And to the caller's point about a successful season, unsuccessful season, I think the quarterback position, yes, that is unsettled. You would have liked to have that more settled. But I think overall, you won three more games than you did a year ago. And you can talk about the schedule if you'd like to. But I think the culture has changed here. I think it's unfortunate that a lot of those cultural changes are being overshadowed by the fact that your two first-round picks, two additions, seem to be kind of the antithesis of that cultural change. And so that has made it a difficult to stomach, and I think that's why people are even more upset about it. Hopefully they will figure out, you know, that how to be professionals. But I think foundation was built. You got you kind of steadied the ship here. I think you got some continuity now headed into next season. You have the same coach, the same general manager, the same offense, the same defense. It's been the first time you've been able to say that in many, many
years.
Yes,
it has.
There are some positives that came out of this season. I think ultimately, was it a pass or a fail? If you're using Mike Pettine's definitions, it was a fail. But I think positive steps were taken, and things can be incremental, and I'm okay with that. You just need to have more incremental positive steps again next year.
You definitely do, and I think in my eyes, and it's just, again, being positive and being an optimist, you look at the two veteran free agent additions that we got in Dante Whitner and Carlos Dansby and the role they played on this team from a leadership standpoint and a production on the field standpoint, and the lack of production we got out of the first round is kind of a wash for this season. But the fact of the matter is that we get all four of those players back next year, and we can we know what to expect out of Dansby and Whitner, and the expectation of our first-round draft picks must go up, and they must be on board to do so. Otherwise, the organization stalls, and you have to restart that process of finding another corner if we really needed a corner and or
well, maybe
finding
Pierre Desir.
Absolutely.
Options, thank goodness.
Sure. Yes, you do. You definitely do. Thank goodness for that. But then also, too, more so than anything, that quarterback position. You know, do you set us back on another wasted pick? And are we able to, and like I said earlier, are we going to get value out of Johnny Manziel if he is not the franchise quarterback here in Cleveland?
Probably not. I think it's a pass-fail position most of all in the NFL. Let's go to Chevy in New Jersey now. Chevy, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, I was so happy to hear Farmer say that the O-line is more important than receiver position. If we beefs up that right side of that O-line, we could be scary.
That's right.
And as far as Manziel goes, it really boils down to, is he immature or is it in his genes? Is he actually, you know, an alcoholic, as was said on First Take yesterday? They were considering that fact. If he is, there's a program that was started in Akron, Ohio. Go to it.
Yeah, I mean, if that is the issue, yes, he's got to get help. I certainly don't know if that's the issue or not. I have no idea. I thought it was ridiculous, you know. Skip Bayless said it. Yeah, well, and that's great, and that's a wonderful thing, and I think it's worked for a lot of people. I think at the end of the day, Johnny needs to figure out what his issues are, and he needs to, you know, deal with them and you know, just deal with being a professional. And, you know, there are people who get, you know, in certain walks of life, you have to grow up faster than in others. He's lived a very charmed life. But if he wants to be a professional football player and he wants the Browns and the fans to get from him what they expected when they drafted him, he's got to make some changes. I think he knows that. Question will be right now, can he? And we are not going to know that until we continue through this offseason and get to the season down there. Rick in Florida, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, what's up,
hey, Rick?
Yeah, I have thanks for taking my call. I have a problem with Ray Farmer and the previous caller that just talked about the offensive line. I'm from Parma, originally retired down here, and we get the Tampa Bay games. And I had to spend a full season watching Mike Evans catching 12 touchdown passes with no quarterback, no offensive line, and he still got the ball in the end zone 12 times. Now, couldn't the Browns have used those 12 touchdowns? I'll shut up and let you answer my question.
Yeah, Mike Evans had a great year. A lot of those wide receivers had great years. There's no question. I think that that is something that you know, you could focus on. Yes, those could have been very, very good things to have a wide receiver. I think that this line, you know, you always want to beef up the line. It always starts at the point of attack. I think it's been one of the big reasons for the turnaround in Dallas. But at the same time, Dallas has Tony Romo. Dallas has Dez Bryant. And they have Jason Witten. But really, they have Tony Romo. They have the quarterback who played as well as anybody in the NFL this season. And that's what the Browns need. The offensive line's great. Receivers can be good. But, I mean, you look at Calvin Johnson, one of the best players in the history of the league. And he never produced necessarily wins. I think receivers are important. We were doing our best this year, by the way, offensively, when Josh Gordon wasn't playing. And we really didn't have any quote-unquote household name receivers on this team, but the team was functioning at a high level. I'm a receiver guy. I think they are important. I wish that the Browns had been able to wet their beak in that big receiver class last year. They could get another crack at it again, whether it's in free agency. There are some good guys that could be added to this team this year, or whether it be via the draft.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think the one point that I'd like to make is, and you referenced it, you almost took the words right out of my mouth, and you talk about Dallas. Dallas has been a football team, you know, without without making the playoffs for a few years, been, you know, just short of making it in, so outside looking in, but they've drafted in the same range with which we'll draft this year, that 12 to 19 range. We actually have 12 and 19, which is where they've added those value picks on the offensive line. You know, they've deviated. They've, of course, got Dez Bryant. You're absolutely right in regards to the fact that they have a franchise quarterback in Tony Romo, but they've added value on the defensive and offensive front with those first round picks, and they've hit on them, and it's taken, it didn't happen overnight, you know, but because Dallas was supposed to be a, you know, 3-4-5 win football team this year, but they've gone out and dominated up front and played offensive football protecting Tony Romo, and they've done that with DeMarco Murray in that offensive line with a run game.
Exactly right. All right, when we come back, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan, will join us to give his end of year thoughts. It's coming up next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.